Welcome to Kingdom Culture Life Redefined Podcast. We are so glad you joined us today. It's a beautiful day. We're glad you're here. God bless you so very much. Hello, Dr. Lori.
What's up, Larry?
My great co-host. I'm so glad you joined us again today. As always, it's good to be with
you.
You
didn't give me a choice.
I don't give you no choice. No, you didn't have a choice. I'm glad you're here. Glad we're on board. Glad we're doing this together. And I'm so thankful for all of our listeners that have been joining with us. And I want to thank you again for the feedback you've been giving us and stuff. And I hope you continue to enjoy it. And I want to say this right out of the gate here. You would like to hear Dr. Lori and I discuss something, talk about something on our podcast, be sure and let us know. So you got a prayer request, be sure and let us know, and we'll sure get that taken care of.
I think it would be great, too. I was just thinking, it would be great, since we've been talking a lot about forgiveness, if anybody has a question about forgiveness or something that we didn't cover that they're struggling with, if they could reach out to us with a question about that, would be great. And maybe we can cover that.
Yep, absolutely. Because we have been, the last two podcasts, we've been talking about the freedom to forgive. And we covered, a lot of issues with forgiveness, unforgiveness, reconciliation, boundaries, healthy boundaries, and things like that. And today, and I felt led to go into this last week, is what's love got to do with unforgiveness? And that song's been stuck in my head. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Anyway,
oh, I didn't know you were going to sing it.
Ooh, hallelujah. Sister Tina Turner. Glory to God.
You don't sing on the praise team, right?
I sound just like her.
Oh, yeah.
If I did sing on the praise team, everybody else would quit and I would take over and it would just be, I'd take it from there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
See, I knew you'd believe that. I knew you'd believe that. You believe anything, right?
I believe anything.
What's love got to do with forgiveness, Dr. Lori? We can only forgive people when we can love them like Jesus loved them. And because Jesus keeps no record of wrong, right?
Right.
Wrong, right. And if I keep record of wrong, have I truly forgiven someone?
And, something I would like to point out, right there, because what I do is temperament therapy based off of people's inborn temperament. So some people may not struggle with records of wrong. There's people who can, you can offend them and 5 minutes later they act like nothing has happened and they keep it rolling, keep moving in life. But there's honestly people who, people listening today may be, that's me. They may really hear this and that's totally me. But there's actually some people who keep a record of wrong in their head. They keep a rolling tab of everybody who's wronged them. And then whenever they are faced with the same type of behavior from someone else that they don't know, it kind of reiterates in their mind, see, that person, add them to the list, because I knew I couldn't trust anybody. Every person that I trust, they do this and they keep that record of wrong. They keep and this could be things from their childhood all the way up till, they're 60 years old and they still have a record of people who's wronged them. And that's, and like I said, people probably today is listening is like, yeah, that's me. So we really have to, in that aspect, this is where loving like Jesus really kicks in. Because Jesus keeps it. What if he kept the record of wrong with us?
Yeah, my goodness, we don't even think about that. But that's when something supernatural takes place. When you can take that record and wad it up and throw it in the trash, so to speak. When you can throw that record into the sea of forgetfulness.
Yes.
So to speak. And you can love someone who's hurt you. Something supernatural has taken place in your life. Supernatural love is a product of the Holy Spirit of God. And when we tap into that gift and when we practice it, the more we choose to forgive, the more it becomes possible. The more it becomes possible, the easier it becomes to forgive. And then pretty soon you've grown past it. You've developed past it. And the pure love of God is working in your life. Mm-hmm. The pure love of God has given you the power to choose to forgive. And the true love of God is giving you the power to choose to forgive, even if it's 70 times 7 sometimes, even if 70 times 7 is necessary. the power of love to forgive is there with you, because again, it is the pure love of God. It is a product of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This is King James Version, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I like to read it from the Passion. The Passion says, but the fruit or the harvest produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love with all its varied expressions. Now, as I studied this out and I looked into it, there is a clear textual inference that the fruit singular of the Holy Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then all these other virtues flow out of that love. All these other virtues come from that love. So joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit comes from love. All that joy, peace, patience, kindness, virtue, faith, gentleness, strength flows from the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And all of that stuff flows out of pure love. The Passion goes on to say, never set a law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected to our old self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Him. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
But that's the power of love. When you have the harvest of love in you, then all of these other qualities follow. And this love in Galatians, I thought was very interesting, that the love in Galatians 5:22 is agape. It's the same love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
It's the because same love.
Yes. So what happens, I'm glad you, that's a good segue into something that I wanted to mention, because what do most people or a lot of Christians use for their wedding verses?
Yeah.
Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, does not boast, blah, 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 blah. And we set ourselves up for failure because we as humans, as flesh, in a marriage without Jesus, and sometimes with Jesus, we can't love like that.
Right.
We cannot love without envy, without, you know, without boasting, without keeping records of wrong and all these things. We cannot do it. It's not meant for a marriage verse. It's meant for how Jesus loves the church.
Yep.
And how we're to love through Him.
Right. And so that's why it goes back to that word supernatural. It goes back to supernatural. It's a harvest of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Agape. 1 Corinthians 13, it's the same love as Galatians 5:22. It's love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. There's that record. Mm-hmm. Love keeps no, this supernatural love of God, the fruit of the Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. You understand that the vine, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. So everything that's in that vine is flowing down into those branches. And the life, the fruit that's in that vine is being produced in those branches, right? So I don't have that branch does not have to pray for the fruit to be manifest. It don't have to pray for the fruit to come down. It just got to stay connected to the vine and let the nurturing and the everything that's in the vine flow down into the branch and produce the fruit. That love, if you have the Holy Ghost, that keeps no record of being wronged, that love that keeps no record of being wronged, that kind of love lives on the inside of you right now, friend. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got that love and that ability right there to wad that in your mind and in your spirit. And I just keep seeing this picture, to wad that list of wrongs up. And throw it in the trash. Wad it up and throw it away from you. You don't have to keep that list of hurts and harms, because when you keep a list, it keeps walls up. as you said a while ago, it makes me not be able to trust not only the person that I'm keeping a list against, but somebody else over here. You know, they kind of act maybe the same way. So I got my walls up there. I got my walls up here. I got my walls up at church. Always on guard. I got my walls up at camp meeting. I got my walls up at youth camp. I got my walls up on the job. I got my walls up towards my spouse, towards my children, because I've got a record that I'm holding on to of hurts and pains. This love keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That is the power of the love of God that lives on the inside of you and I. Absolutely. That's what love's got to do with it. That's what love's got to do with it right there.
And how do we, because I've had people ask me before, how do you tap into that?
It starts with a revelation.
Revelation. It starts with how do I tap into that type of love? It's a choice. Like, we choose to rely on it, to lean on it, to set our mind on it. And whenever we do that, then it frees us to be able to let it flow from us. We have to make that choice, because as, you know, Holy Ghost filled Christians, we are still flesh in the spirit. We're spirit, we're flesh, we're physical, emotional, spiritual beings. So we have to choose to lean into that. We have to choose to make that choice. But God is in us to be able to help us to lean into it, to make the choice, to live. I mean, because it is possible to live this free life, but you have to, like, you got to make that choice. And that's, I mean, and it's really that simple, but it is complex. Like, you, it's simple that just to make the choice to, I'm going to allow God to take over and not continue to be jealous, not to continue to be proud, not continue to be boastful. And, you know, this, when we look at, even in our marriages, if we look at, you know, this passage right here, it kind of lets us off the hook that, yeah, I can't do this on my own, because we all try to do it on our own because we think that's what it means. But whenever we let go and let it all go and just lean on Jesus to be able to help us to do this. Am I making sense, or am I just rambling?
Yes.
Like, like, seriously,
yes, you are.
Is that easy? To just make the choice to let it go and to love like Jesus.
Well, the more you make the choice, the more you lean into it, the more it becomes a revelation.
Yes.
You can make
it, and it becomes a part of you.
You can make a choice and you can lean into it, so to speak, but it still not be a revelation, but it, and you can still think that it's out there somewhere. I've always got to try to find it. I've always tried to get God to come down. Mm-hmm. I got to try to get God to touch me with this love, get God to give me more love. But when you get a revelation, again, I keep going back to this, that you are in the vine. Jesus is the vine. You're the branch. You are in him. You are connected to him. Christ is in you. You are in him. This love is already in you. This love is part of the harvest that the Holy Spirit in you produces. The more you lean into that, the more you understand that I have this love in me. I possess this love. This love is here. It's in my soul right now. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to learn how to release it. I'm going to learn how to flow in it. I'm going to learn how to yield to it. I'm going to learn how to mature in it and grow in it. The more you do that, the more powerful it becomes. And it becomes not your second nature, not something that
you
have to.
But your first nature.
It becomes just automatically, boom, there it is. Yeah. It's just there. It's just there. Because it's a harvest of the Spirit. It's a harvest of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. So you, the more you walk in this, learn how to walk in the Spirit, live from the Holy Spirit, the more it's just there. I don't know how to put it any more simpler than that. It's just, bam, it becomes who you are to such a degree. You don't even think about it anymore. You just love. You just forgive. You just pray for them. You just let it go. And you decide, I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength here. And I'm going to love people. I'm going to love God. And I'm going to go forward in this thing.
But, you know, the way that we become more like Jesus and the way that we are able to live this lifestyle is by going back to, you know, our first episode one, we talked about planting the word in our heart. It can't become a part of us, and it can't. And I think that's where we miss the mark, is we don't put the word in us. So how can the love be there if we, in the word is Jesus? Jesus is the word.
Yeah, you can't Jesus believe is what the Holy you don't Ghost. Know.
Exactly. I mean, it's know. All, yes, his word is alive. His word is him. When we put that word inside of us, it activates that spirit.
Yep.
The spirit that's in us. So we can, like, when we put this word, love is patient, love is kind, when we really like digest that and really eat it and really like live it, it becomes real. And so it has to be implanted. It has to become a part of us to be able to activate it.
I like that real, but I'm going to say revelation. It becomes revelation. When it mm-hmm. becomes revelation, that's when everything starts changing. It's I know Amen. Now. I know. I don't just believe now. I know now. Mm-hmm. It's a different level. It's a different level. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God, the agape of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So the love of God, that Galatians 5:22 love, that 1 Corinthians 13 love mm-hmm. is already in our hearts. We don't have to ask God to give us something that we already have. I like the passion says, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful verse. We need to understand God's love is already in me. It's cascading over my heart and my life. It's shed abroad in my heart. I'm full of the love of God.
The endless love of God.
The endless love of God. The Galatians.
There's no tapping out. Like there's no tapping out. Yes.
I'm full of the Galatians 5:20. And so if I'm full of the Galatians 5:22 love, what else am I full of? Joy. Mm. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness.
That's amazing.
That's all coming from
the love. The love I never knew that. You're so smart. Gosh.
Well, thank you. I try.
Your head's like getting bigger and bigger. Yeah.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night, right?
That's amazing, though. I really never did notice that, that it all stems from the love, the joy,
that's
the peace.
That's what love's got to do with it. That's the power yes. of the love of God. It's incredible and it's amazing.
And we could all of us could use a little more love or a little more joy, more peace, all these things that God promises. I know I can use more peace, more joy. And what the awesome thing about God's love and the joy that he gives us through his love is the fact that it doesn't matter where you're at, what you're going through, what the circumstances look like. You can have joy in the midst of it all. Been there, done that.
Because it's supernatural. I know God.
Yes.
It's supernatural joy. It's supernatural peace. It's a yes. part of the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It cannot be nothing but supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
It's not controlled by natural circumstances. It's not controlled by natural feelings and natural emotions. It's not controlled by things that happen to me or don't happen to me.
That's right.
It's a product of the Holy Spirit living within me. So it is. That's why we've said this over and over again. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't forgive. You can't let somebody go. You can't get rid of that record. You can't get rid of that hurt. You can't stop those triggers and all that stuff on your own. You won't be able to medicate it out. You might be able to medicate yourself into a zombie, but you won't be able to medicate that stuff away. But the power of the love of God and all that flows from the love of God can heal you completely of that stuff because it's supernatural. And God doesn't intend for us to have to face any of this natural hell and pain and misery in our lives from a natural basis. He expects us to handle it through his spirit, through his power. And thank God for that. That's the ultimate love. That's the love of all loves right there, that God loved me so much that he equips mm-hmm. me with everything that I need to overcome anything in this life.
That's right.
Amen.
And having the peace and the joy in the midst of it. And going back to the love is patient and kind and all these emotions that this passage brings up, we have to remind ourselves that emotions lie. Remember, we talked about that as well. And just to reiterate, the fact that emotions, we can't base life off of emotions and what we're feeling. We have to base it off of the truth of the Word of God. And that truth is the foundation. The emotions, you know, they give us a good indication, but they cannot be our compass. And I say that on the regular now. I heard, you know, someone say that one time and it just stuck, like it really resonated with me, that emotions are a good indicator, but not a good compass. And if we base our relationships off of jealousy, being boastful, proud, keeping that record of wrong, all those things that, you know, that hurtful relationships bring up, all those feelings, all those emotions, we can't react from emotions. We have to go back to the baseline of what does Jesus say? What does his love say? And the Word of God gives us the details. It gives us the roadmap as to how to follow to get to this freedom that we keep talking about.
Yeah. The hurt and the unforgiveness and the bitterness and all of those emotional passions that stuff stirs up, that stuff don't have to motivate us. It doesn't have to stir us. It doesn't have to trigger us. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of God constrains us. Mm-hmm. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I like the way the Passion puts this. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passions and motivates us.
I love that.
Those triggers don't have to motivate us to unforgiveness and fuel passions of hatred and bitterness in us. The love of Christ controls us. It motivates us to forgiveness. It stirs up passions in us of forgiveness and love, mm-hmm. and grace and mercy. That's the power of the love of God. The love of Jesus Christ controls me, and it fuels my passions and it motivates me to forgive and to let go and to release, or whatever the case may be. That's how powerful agape love is flowing in me and through me. It's empowering me to forgiveness.
And I like the way, I like that word constrain also. To constrain us, you know, to give us constraint, the to be able to control ourselves whenever,
yes,
when people do hurt us, when people do, because I mean, let's be real about it. There is no one in this world that has never been hurt. There's no one in this world that's never suffered at the hands of someone, you know, being mean or being hurtful or, you know, being abusive. Everyone has suffered this. So it gives us the constraint. It gives us the control to be able to not lash out, to not, take matters into our own hands, but to really give it to Jesus. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings now is give it to Jesus and go to sleep. Like we can really like give it to Jesus, lay our head down at night and rest without it, you know, plague in our mind, and we replaying it over and over and over again. Like it's possible that we, yes, can give it to Jesus and go to sleep. And, you know,
because
that's the
love of Christ controls us.
Yes, it controls us. I love that.
Yes,
I'm going to have to write that one. I'm going to write that one out. That was another good one.
So,
good job.
So Dr. Lori, how do I live in this love and live from this love? What can I do on a daily basis to know that it's Christ's love controlling me and motivating me, and it's not bitterness and it's not unforgiveness?
Well,
what can I do on a daily basis to get me there?
Going back to 1 Corinthians, this is a application and a exercise that I give a lot of my clients who struggle not only with unforgiveness, but they struggle with loving difficult people. And I said it before, I've had some difficult people in my life. And how do we love those difficult people? We pray first and foremost for God for that supernatural love. And if his spirit does not live inside of you, like it's the promises for you. So we have to have that spirit on the inside of us, but we have to pray for that person through this prayer, through this passage. Because it says love is patient. So am I patient with this person? Am I kind to this person? Because, you know, kindness can change a lot of things. And whenever someone is hurts us, or they are, you know, vengeful towards us, we want to retaliate. So if we show kindness instead of vengefulness, then that, you know, that pretty much heads it off. Like, how can you if you don't allow them to steal your joy and your kindness and your happiness and your peace, then, you know, they're seeing that they're not accomplishing anything. So if love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, it's not boastful or proud or rude, does not demand its own way, it's not irritable, it keeps no record of being wrong, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out, love never gives up, love never loses faith, it's always hopeful, it endures through every circumstance. This is the type of love that we have to show to those people. So we love, this is how we love difficult people. So that's the application, is the same love that Jesus shows us. God, help me to be patient.
Yes.
God, help me to be kind to this person. God, help me to not be jealous. And you got to really, you know, take in account what they've done to you, what that emotion is attached to your feelings toward them. Because have you ever just been jealous toward somebody? They didn't really done anything wrong to you, but you're just jealous of either what God's doing in their life or what blessings they've got, or that Jesus answered their prayer, didn't answer your prayer, and you're just jealous. So love is not jealous. So it's finding that emotion and figuring out. And I even have a, you know, I have a chart that I give my clients that's a Bible matching emotion chart, where you can really get to the root of how I feel about this. And maybe we can, you know, tag that in somewhere, we can upload it so people can get it. But really sitting down and thinking about what is it about this person that really offends me, or what is it about this person that, what have they done to me, and getting to the root of it. So then we can really say, if I'm jealous of them, love is not jealous. So that's not Jesus, right? Love is not boastful. So if I'm boastful, or if I'm proud, or if I'm rude, just going through those emotions and figuring out which one is the one that you're feeling toward this person. And the big, big step is, it keeps no records of wrong. So if you've got a record of wrong, that all these things that this person has done to you, like, it's time to, like you said, mentally, and not only mentally, but write it down. Burn it, bury it, do whatever you got to do to let go of those wrongs, because it's not the will of God for you to keep a record of every wrong that was ever done to you. That keeps us in bondage. That keeps us chained to the past. That keeps us, you know, chained to where we can't move forward into the future that God has for us. So we have to get rid of that record of wrong. And so whenever you can really take this passage, and you can pray for that person, that God helps you to be patient, to be kind, not to be jealous, not to be boastful, not to be proud, not to be rude, and just go down the list. That's a really good, applicable demonstration of what you can do to help you to love difficult people. And it really does work. I promise you, it works. All these things that I tell, and, you know, I give my clients that we're sharing on this podcast, these are things that I have to do myself, because unlike you, I'm not perfect. I struggle sometimes, and I have to do these things myself. And it really does work. I had somewhat a particular person in my life before, like, that we just could not, like, even get in a room without arguing and fussing and, you know, just leaving angry every time we were around each other. Until I began to pray this prayer for that person. And then God began to show me the reason why they react the way that they react. And I said it before, because they were hurt. Yeah. And now I understand them, and I can love them and not be irritated, not be, because it's not irritable. It's not irritated. It's not, it, you know, I don't keep those records of wrongs anymore. I've let it go, and I can truly love them. And it's a wonderful feeling to have freedom in a relationship and really love that person without holding on to all that baggage.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's what free and free indeed is all about. Amen. That's the power of the love of God. That's what the love of God can do for us. That's what the love of God can do for you today, my friend. Amen.
Amen.
You done?
Are you done?
I'm done.
I don't think I have anything else.
Well, it's been good. It's been good. And I want you to know, my friends out there, our listeners, may the love of Jesus Christ dwell in you richly from this day forward. You recognize the power of the love of God that you have on the inside of you right now. You are a Christian. That is Christ in you. And all that Jesus is in you. And you are in Jesus Christ. The fountain of the love of God, may it flow through you so that you can not help, so that you cannot help but love the most wretched and the most ungrateful people that you just cannot help but love the people that have even hurt you and wronged you in your past. You, my friend, learn how to rest in Christ Jesus. Learn how to rest in the nature of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. Learn how to draw from that agape love that we talked about today. Learn how to draw from it. You're not drawing it down. You're not trying to pull it down from somewhere. You're not praying and asking God to give it to you. God already gave it to you. When he gave you the Holy Ghost, that love is there. That love is on the inside of you. And everything that flows from that love that we read about is there. It's on the inside of you. Learn how to yield to it. Learn how to discern it. Learn how to grow and mature in it. And rest in Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ give you wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ give you knowledge and strength on how to do that. Lori and I are praying for you. We love you very much. We thank God for you, for listening again, for all the feedback. And we're looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless you so much. May you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And remember one more thing. It's not impossible. It is what, Lori?
Him possible.
Him possible. Thank you. God bless. See you later.